to the Seek the Joy podcast. On today's episode is Sam Sedlak, and Sam is the host of the Supernormal podcast. And for those of you who don't know, Supernormal is a podcast about humans sharing their stories in hopes of showing who we really are. The About section of the podcast says, in a world where social media corners the market on communication, this podcast allows for connection on a deeper level through new insights and understandings, and I just love that. And that's in part why I reached out to Sam back in October. I really was inspired and excited by the content that she's putting out there, and I just love to connect with people who get it and who want to have a positive impact and who are having a positive impact. So I was super excited to connect with Sam and to collaborate with her in this way. She's on my podcast this week, and I'm also on her podcast this week. So it was just really awesome to be able to have these conversations and to connect with somebody who's also, you know, really just starting out with a podcast. What I've loved about connecting with Sam is that we both really believe in supporting people. And so that's what makes being on each other's podcast so special, in my opinion. And we didn't know each other at all before recording these episodes. So if you're not familiar with the Supernormal podcast, all of the information on the podcast and where you can find her website and her episodes, it's all included in the show notes for this episode. Check out the Supernormal podcast. Check out the episode that I'm on. It aired yesterday. And subscribe to her podcast and subscribe to my podcast if you haven't already. And if you feel so inclined, we would both so appreciate it if you left us each on both of our podcasts a rating and review. The more people who rate and review the podcast, the more likely it is that other people will have the chance to hear our podcast. Both of them, both Supernormal and Seek the Joy. So I loved collaborating with Sam in this way. Fair warning, I was having some minor mic issues during this recording, so you may notice this episode sounds a little bit different. But I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I hope you enjoyed the episode that she put out yesterday. And without further ado, here's my conversation with Sam. Your podcast is Supernormal, and I love the like subtitle byline for your podcast, which is a podcast that wants to change the world when it grows up. So what inspired you to start it?
Supernormal just itself, like the name is kind of the entity and why I wanted to start it in the first place. That really is the best like way to describe what I was thinking at the time. I was working in television, and I'm not too far removed from college, so it wasn't my first job, but it was one of my first jobs, and you know, I was getting a good feel of the field for the first time. And because of that, you know, you're working low level positions for the first few years, and I have no problem doing my due diligence and making sure that I'm, you know, doing everything that I can, even if it's coming in an extra hour early or staying an extra hour late. That's just the type of person that I am. So I was putting my everything into this job, literal blood, sweat, and tears. And it just got to a point where I realized I was so unhappy. I was making media that I didn't feel proud of, which the whole reason I got into media broadcast journalism in the first place was so that way I could share people's stories and kind of feel like I'm making a difference in the world in a positive way. So I felt like I was actually doing the exact opposite. The content that I was creating was, you know, maybe not hurting people, but it wasn't, definitely wasn't benefiting them and was definitely a waste of people's time and resources and energy. So I thought, okay, I've been really trying to do a podcast for a long time, but working 60 hours a week at this job was kind of draining, and I couldn't really manage to do both. So I said, okay, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to quit my job and start the podcast. I was super duper scared, and I'm, you know, have the credit card bill to prove it. But I freelanced for a little while and just recently got a new job. So I'm going to try to balance both of them. But the whole point was essentially to create a place where people's stories were being told and shared in a good way, you know.
Yeah.
And what I think is the right way, which might not be the right way for everybody, but hopefully is the right way for the people who come on, and is just a way that kind of takes the divisiveness out of everything, and brings back the idea that we're all just people living on a planet. And that's kind of what the name Supernormal was trying to show, was all these people that are coming on my show, despite how different they are, they're all just normal people.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love that. I think the idea that you want to create content, right, that's going to have a positive impact. I love what you said about, well, maybe what you were doing wasn't hurting people, but it wasn't having maybe the kind of impact or that level of positivity or even just authenticity, you know, like being real and honest. And I think the world needs a lot more of that. And so I think I definitely relate, obviously, to that premise of your podcast too, because you want to create a space, right? Like a safe space where people can share their stories, their truth, and sort of, I think in some ways too, make the content that's out there more accessible and real and honest and relatable.
Absolutely. It was to like basically say, you know, all the shit that you're seeing online, half of it is bullshit. Mm-hmm. The other, you know, one quarter of it is completely false and no one checks their sources anymore. And then the other quarter of it is like maybe true, but you're only representing a very small portion of what you're trying to say. And you don't put out all the information. So I just wanted to say like, hey, if you're going to talk about these people, here's real examples of what they are.
I also think what's so great about your podcast and the episodes I've listened to so far, you know, it's different types of people with different stories, and, you know, you explore topics like race and sexuality and LGBTQ issues and what's going on in politics. And it really explores, I don't know, but I feel like some topics that people are uncomfortable with, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I think the more conversations that we have and we sort of break down that like level of taboo or even just discomfort that I think people have with the real honest stories and people's experiences. And the other thing that I just remembered that you were saying before too is the way you want to share it and the way you share it may not be the way everybody else wants to hear it or share it. It's what works for you. And I think you're definitely attracting, I guess, like-minded people who are going to relate to you. And then obviously the stories you share too, which I think is so important when you're putting out any kind of podcast or media.
Yeah. I think what was really important to me when I was making it, and if you listen to the episodes, most of the episodes don't really have my perspective on a lot of things.
Yeah.
And the reason why I did that is because, you know, my perspective doesn't always matter and my perspective isn't always relevant. And I think that's something I really wanted to teach people through what I was doing was, you know, I cannot speak on what it is like be somebody who is a person of color. I cannot speak on what it is like to be a gay man growing up in Connecticut, you know, and it was important to me that they were the one who was sharing their stories and they were the ones who were explaining what those things were like, because I think so often we have media that shares these stories and shares these ideas and shares these, you know, perceptions from the perspective of somebody reporting on those types of people. And that's not what it should be, because if you break down the barrier of, okay, I'm a white woman reporting on such and such and such, maybe if you just hear this person actually talking about what it's like to be them, you'll relate a little bit more and say, wow, you know, I actually can, you know, understand where they're coming from. I can understand their perspective, or I actually totally agree with what they're saying. And, you know, I've been there before. So now I can realize that we have something in common.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think that's so important too, because I mean, I can't speak on those issues. I don't have, you know, those experiences either. And so I think it's so important to allow people the space and the freedom to share their views and share their stories without sort of, like you were saying, putting your perspective on it. Because I think what happens too often, and this is what you were saying too, is people sort of impose themselves, right, on other people and impose their viewpoints. And, you know, just to wrap up what I was saying in general, I just think the more freedom and the more space people have to really be who they are and feel that they're safe to share who they are, and the more real they feel they can get, I think we're all going to shift and change, and it's just going to be such a benefit to society.
Yeah. And I want to touch on something that I think is also a taboo word now, or maybe like an overused word. And although it has complete validity and it's completely necessary. The word safe, like I never, you know, promote my podcast as something that is like a safe space. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, I do
totally
talk about that when I, you know, first call my guests and say like, hey, if there's anything you're uncomfortable about, you know, we don't have to talk about it. No one's ever said, no, I don't want to answer that question. And I've never cut anything out because somebody said, I'm uncomfortable. Can you like delete that?
Yeah.
But I never promote my podcast as like a safe space, because that scares conservative or like different minded people away. And I just want to just promote the podcast or, you know, market the podcast as this is just like real shit.
And, totally.
And that's what I want people to, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's unfortunate that we're in a world today where safe space and triggered and words like that are being overused or used incorrectly or used against people, which just kind of is upsetting. But hopefully I can do something from a real perspective that maybe people will realize like, okay, I should probably stop making fun of those kinds of people or stop doing that because they're actually just normal people like me.
Yeah. And I appreciate you clarifying that too, because, you know, my intention with using the word or the phrase safe space is more to say like, this is a place where you can get real and be honest. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, you mean it legitimately.
Yeah, legitimately. But
unfortunately,
I think
people don't sometimes or take it against you.
Totally. And I think that was really important to clarify, because I think there are so many words that, and phrases that are so overused in society in general. And I think it makes people uncomfortable, or they may feel like, is this authentic? Like, are you being for real? Or are you just saying that because that's a buzzword? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So I think that was really great. You clarified that. So obviously you are starting a new job and you're going to be continuing the podcast, which is so great. And outside of doing the podcast, I mean, what are things that you do that sort of help you stay balanced or maybe feel grounded?
I definitely think like on the same line as the podcast, because I really only created it because it is an extension of like who I am as a person.
Yeah.
Something that I think is probably the most important thing in my life is people. And you know, whether it's like meeting a new person out when I go out with my boyfriend and some friends that we haven't seen in a long time, or trying a new restaurant because I feel like it's connecting me with a new culture. And, you know, then I'll go home and I'll like look up the restaurant, I'll look up the people who own it, I'll look up their story, or I'll like read articles about them, and I'll make sure like, you know, I give them a good Yelp review, especially if they're like local people, you know, that are struggling to keep their business afloat. That's really important to me. And I do a lot of like community work when I can. I'm not going to say that I've been like a huge activist and I go out every weekend and do stuff, because I haven't been.
Yeah.
And there are people who do that. I was more active in the past when I wasn't, you know, working on the podcast, but I do a lot of like crocheting for babies and, you know, the Christmas and winter
yeah.
time, and trying to go to shelters and, you know, just like helping people out any way that I can. And I don't really like talk about that or promote it on my Facebook or anything like that. It's more important to me to like actually do the shit.
Yeah.
Instead of just like telling people I do it. So that's something that's really important. And yeah, just any kind of communication with people. I think I'm just like a people person, and I'm definitely someone who is like overly empathetic. So mm-hmm. I try not to spend too much time with the same person.
Yeah.
Because that can get hard, because you ride their emotional roller coaster.
Totally. I can relate
them,
to that.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like smile at people and dogs on the street.
That's I love
like
it.
A passion of
it's
mine.
All, it's all about like connection.
Right.
Building and fostering those connections and going out into the world. And I love what you had to say just about, you know, meeting people. What I love so much about podcasts, and I think we talked a little bit about this on your show, but it's about that connection and meeting people and hearing their story and having that dialogue that maybe you wouldn't have you wouldn't have otherwise. And
right.
I think though, it's sometimes it's hard to do all of that. And then you start to feel worn out, I think too. So mm-hmm. I know for me personally, it's sort of hard to strike that balance sometimes, because I totally right. relate to what you said about being sort of overly empathetic. I sort of ride people's emotions with them. I too often I'm processing other people's emotions for them, which is a boundary issue of mine that I'm 100% working on. But it's hard, you know, when you want to spend time with people and people that you care about, but you've also got to sort of take care of yourself, you know, at the same time. So I totally relate to what you were saying.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot about learning what your boundaries are and how to draw your boundaries. And especially, you know, coming out of college when you don't necessarily have to be around people every single day and you have that freedom not to be, it's important to understand the people in your life that, you know, there's always going to be people who they can be very good people and they have the best intentions, but they may not be able to process their feelings or emotions or events that happen in their lives the way that you can process these things,
yeah.
or even the way that you want them to process it. And it's just, you know, something that you have to realize, okay, in order for me to be in a healthy place, I need to maybe only see this person once a month or once every 6 months. And I definitely have those people in my life. And you have to, you know, learn how to balance that with what you have going on.
Yeah, no, I was actually about to ask you, you know, for yourself, maybe how do you create or draw those boundaries? But it sounds like it's really about, you know, deciding for yourself, okay, is this the type of person I want to see right now? Or is it too much for me? It sounds like that's really, you know, goes into how you sort of create those boundaries for yourself.
Yeah, I think people need to listen more and be a little bit more compassionate. And I definitely think like my main thing I do in my everyday life, or the main thing that I preach, for lack of a better term, is empathy. Because mm-hmm. I think that, you know, people can definitely be dramatic or be exaggerative or be whatever, you know, overly angry, whatever word you might want to use to describe them. And that's your perception of them, but they might not be perceiving that situation the same way from their end.
Right.
They may be having something else in their life that you don't know about going on that is coming out in this situation with you in particular. And they may not be connected and you may not know that other thing. So just, you know, it's all about being empathetic and saying, if I was this person, even if what they're doing to me is unnecessary, how would I want to be treated back? Especially mm-hmm. if they're in a time where they're being overly angry or overly upset, you know, they clearly have something going on. So it's just like, understand that everyone's got their own baggage and their own shit going on in their lives. And maybe if you showed them a little bit of compassion, or if you need to take a break, take a break. Don't hurt their feelings. Don't tell them to go fuck off. Just,
right.
you know, don't answer their text message. And that's okay too, as long as the next time you speak to them, you make sure you're asking them how they're doing, or say, I'm so sorry that we haven't caught up in a while. You know, how's everything been? It's about communication and just really thinking about it from the other person's perspective. Because I definitely have people that don't talk to me very often either. And I'm mm-hmm. probably one of those people for them, because I'm a lot. Like, I am a lot. I am a whole lot of person all the time, all day, every day. There is always something going on. It's just always something. So I know I'm probably that person for other people as well. And that's okay. And I don't need everybody in my life to come talk to me every single day. But I think that if you're going to text me out of the blue, don't make it something where you're just asking for advice and then you don't, you know, talk to me.
Yeah.
You don't ask me how I am. Because I have a lot of stuff going on.
No, I feel that way too. What goes with empathy too is well, it's twofold. One, it's what you were talking about in terms of having patience and putting yourself in the other person's shoes. Too often we're all thinking about what's on our plate and mm-hmm. we don't think about, you know, the person next to us or, you know, what's going on with them. And I really try to make it a point to reach out to my friends and say, what's going on with you? What can I do to help you? But I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's really frustrating to me when I don't have that in return. Right. There are times where I certainly feel really frustrated and disappointed with that too, because I also come from the space of give without any expectation. So give what you want to give because that's what you want to do and it's who you are, but don't give with the expectation of receiving. Mm-hmm. And that mindset kind of bites me in the ass from time to time. Right. When I do feel myself frustrated or impatient with somebody who I don't feel is sort of maybe reciprocating, you know, the way that I would like them to. Mm-hmm. But it is all a big learning experience, and it does go back to empathy and having patience, but also, you know, sort of maybe drawing that line in the sand for yourself and saying, I have too much going on in my life right now. I can't be there for them maybe the way they would like me to, or the way I would like to be there for them. And you sort of have to sort of create some distance, you know.
Right.
It's really hard, I think, for so many of us to draw those boundaries.
Yeah. I think that it's, although it may be hard, I think there are also plenty of times where we have to make the decision, am I going to level in the pond scenario where person is upsetting you, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to add something onto your day that you're going to be upset about. Now you're going to go home and complain to your boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, or your roommate or whoever it might be, your parents, about how this person isn't treating you right. Now you're going to, you know, add that onto their part of the, you know, trickle in the pond or whatever you want to call it. You're adding another ring to the scenario. And to me, you know, it's important to have those conversations and it's important to, you know, get those things off your shoulder. But if it's going to be something that you're going to complain about every day or every week, it's something that you need to actively do something about, because no one's in control of your emotions. No one's in control of your actions or how you react to something. And that person can only do so much when you go and talk to them about the same thing every single time.
Yeah.
You know, all they can say is like, oh, do you really want to go to your girlfriend and be like, oh, blah, blah, blah is doing this, blah, blah, blah again? How many times can you, you know, right, have that person say that? You're adding negativity to their life. So eventually you need to take it into your own hands and be like, you know, it doesn't have to be anything crazy or aggressive or mean, but if somebody is only texting you to ask you advice about their girlfriend, you can say, hey, yeah, blah, 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 here's your advice. And by the way, I got diagnosed with this and I have a new job. If you want to catch up, let me know. Like,
yeah, like hello, maybe I'm still here.
Right. Like maybe they find that a little bit aggressive, but I think that it's better than being a liar and, you know, talking shit about them behind their back. And I think it's also like, you're an adult. If you want somebody to know something,
yeah,
you have to tell them. Don't wait for them to drag it out of you.
Yeah, no, I think what you said is really true and also really interesting. And it goes back to, at least for me, it goes back to sort of, are you taking responsibility for yourself?
Right.
Are you taking responsibility for your own emotions? Are you processing your own stuff? Or are you expecting someone else to sort of, I guess, process it for you? And I think right, it's one thing to confide in somebody, but it's another to sort of emotionally dump on them to the extent where now they're feeling what you're feeling. Right. And I think it's a boundary issue and it's a taking responsibility for your own energy issue that I think so many of us are kind of out of touch with. I don't think a lot of people realize, you know, that you have an impact on somebody else for better or for worse. And I totally get what you're saying. But at the same time, it, you know, you want to still be there for the people in your life. But sometimes you've got to say, listen, you've got to take care of yourself because you're the most important person first. If you're not your right, biggest advocate, then who's going to be? And I think that's something I've definitely learned in the last couple of years. I'm sure you can relate sort of based on our previous conversation. You know, you've got to put yourself first. You've got to take care of your own energy. You've got to take care of your own health. And then you can be there for other people. But if you're not taking care of you first, it's not gonna, things will not go well. You know what I mean?
I think it's kind of like the thing that they tell you about when you get on an airplane about the, you know, air mask or
yes,
the oxygen mask. It's like, please do not put it on anybody else before you put it on yourself. And I really do feel like that's kind of what life is like. Is like, okay, you know, I had all this health stuff going on, all these health issues, and I was really putting it off for a while because I didn't want to seem like annoying or, you know, whatever, or or have to, I don't know why I put it off for so long, because I'm an idiot is really basically the end of the story.
I mean, if you're anything like me, you're probably stubborn.
Yeah. Very stubborn. And, you know, I didn't have time, and there was other things that I thought were more important, and it wasn't, you know, and I realized, like, okay, all these things are getting pushed off because I have other things that I am finding more important, but all these health issues are adding up and they're getting joined by new health issues that are probably related. And on top of it, like, I'm just complaining all the time. And is that the kind of person that I want to be? Like, do I want to be somebody who's complaining, who's not seeking a way to fix those complaints? No. Yeah. So once I realized that, it's like, okay, you might not want to have a diagnosis because you don't want to put pressure on everybody in your circle. Like, okay, now I'm the person with this problem, and now I have to only eat gluten-free, and everybody's going to deal with me. But also, you're like currently the person who's complaining all the time. So which one would you rather be, you know?
Yeah, no, it's about, are you going to be proactive, right, and taking care of yourself, or are you just going to sort of be passive with your own journey? That's kind of right. How I look at it. And I'm a very stubborn person, but that stubbornness can be used in my advantage as much as it can be, you know, a disadvantage. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, what you're saying is spot on. You've got to go and you got to take care of it. I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, I've sort of learned going through those tough health moments have really resulted in a lot of growth that I, like, personal growth that I don't think would have happened without those experiences. And I'm right there with you with the gluten-free thing. I mean, my friends are like, oh, we can't go for pizza and pasta because Sydney can't eat it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, you've got to do what you've got to do to take care of yourself and be proactive and use that stubbornness to your advantage. Because without those experiences, though, I'm telling you, it would not be the person I am today. And yeah, there's always room for growth. But without those experiences, you know, we wouldn't be where we are today. So as much of a pain in the butt they are, you know,
they have their purpose.
That's what I've really learned. And I mean, listen, without the experiences you went through, you wouldn't have a podcast, I don't think. You know?
Absolutely.
And yeah. I think that's what's so magical about starting new projects and creating content that has meaning for you is, you know, maybe this time last year you wouldn't have done it yet. You wouldn't have started because of where you were at in your life. And I just everything has purpose. Totally. So we talked a little bit about you know, the purpose of your podcast and kind of what you want to achieve through it. But what would you say is the type of impact you want to have on the world through your podcast?
Well, that's kind of like a long-term answer.
It's a loaded question.
It is kind of a loaded question. So really something that I'm super passionate about, and I'm kind of just like putting a name to it recently, is kind of like media literacy and kind of the behavioral science aspect behind it. And I don't think that I can do that through my podcast necessarily. I think what it will be doing is essentially pulling people's attention away, even if it's for a half an hour a week, from consuming the type of media that does not promote media literacy. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is the content where, you know, it's just a video posted with some text that has no sources, or it's just like something put out of context and people aren't forcing themselves to go and find the source for it, or, you know, seek alternative ideas or seek opposing ideas, even to back themselves up. But all of that is essential to creating a necessary dialogue. And I think that there are so many people who are just okay with accepting the form of information that they're currently getting. Mm-hmm. They don't ever try to seek out other information. They don't ever try to research and see the validity of things. And to me, I'm bringing them a type of media that, like I said, is straight from the source. So although it's not necessarily the long-term, you know, promoting media literacy, it's helping them be like, okay, next time you want to make a judgment about somebody, go straight to the source and find the information yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to take out some of the middlemen in between, you know, and that's something like from the perspective of somebody who worked in television for a very big company and got to see it up close and personal and worked in multiple companies when I was interning and when I was in college, I got to see like they're really feeding you a line of shit. And it's really like information that you have to get out there to the people because your boss is telling you and his boss is telling him and, you know, her boss is telling her and so down the line. And it's just complete shit.
Yeah.
Like, I hated it.
No, I think that's really interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think the whole concept of media literacy is more important now than ever. I mean, we don't have to get into the politics of all this, but I mean, Take a look at the last year or maybe even 2 years and the whole presidential election we just went through and fake news. And yeah, I mean, people take things at face value, right? And they don't even research. They just go, oh, I saw that on Facebook and it must be true. Or I heard it on CNN or whatever news source and it must be true. And I think that's exactly what you're doing is you're sort of starting maybe the dialogue and opening up the space to kind of, I don't know, really
just have the conversation and yeah. even start the conversation. And even like, I try to use my Instagram as a platform to share things that I come across in my everyday that other people might not notice.
Yeah.
Like, you know, BuzzFeed put out something the other day, not to hate on BuzzFeed because, you know, they are what they are, but BuzzFeed put out something the other day where it was like, the Me Too situation, or that was, I guess, a couple of weeks ago. But the thumbnail that they used was literally close-ups of girls crying. And I mean,
are you serious?
That's such clickbait. And you know, it's not fake. Like, I'm sure they really were crying in the video. But you know, you're taking somebody's most vulnerable moments and selling it is essentially what you're doing because they're making money off of those clicks. And I want to break those things down for people to realize, like, hey, you're gonna watch this. Maybe you're going to watch it. I'm not going to change your mind to not watch it. But I just want when you're watching it to know that these people are doing this. And this is their intention is to exploit these people to make money off of them.
Yeah.
You know, and there's times where like, I know so many people in my newsfeed share Vice articles and Vice videos and not to shit on them because, you know, they are what they are as well. But I saw an article the other day where Vice was misquoting somebody. It was a simple grammatical error. They didn't use a bracket. They just, you know, wrote that somebody said something, but they didn't. It was actually the answer to a question. And it's something so simple as writing something improperly and completely changing what somebody actually said to what they were, you know, what they meant by it is just how many other times have they done that? And how many other times have people read those articles and taken it for what it was, you know, and not understood that that was a grammatical error that's based off of a journalistic principle, based off of morals, and they don't see those things. So even if it's like a screenshot with an arrow that in my terrible handwriting and the Instagram story, maybe somebody will look for those things the next time when it actually matters, even if those times don't actually matter.
Yeah. And I think moving forward, I mean, people are really going to start to have to be proactive, right? And rely on themselves more and more now than ever to really discern for themselves if something is real and honest and authentic versus a misquote or an exaggeration or just fake news. You know what I mean? Right. And I think people are not used to being that proactive when it comes to their news. I mean, you just sort of expect to be fed the information you need to be fed. And that's why now I think more than ever, it's so important to be really cognizant of where you're getting your information and, you know, to have a platform like a podcast and to share people's stories and information and their experiences. And like you said, have it come right from the source as opposed to, you know, going through somebody else and then that person sort of reporting on it and you're taking out the middleman. I mean, I think it's going to definitely open up the space and start the conversation. And you're definitely part of that media literacy movement, which I just think is so important.
I'm trying.
You are. You definitely are. No, and I think, listen, I think people, they worry they can't have an impact because maybe they're not a celebrity or super well-known or have a huge following. But the truth is everyone has the ability to make an impact, and it doesn't matter how small. Because if you're doing something that brings you joy and makes you happy and you're following your passion, or you're just putting accurate information out there, you know, whatever it is you're doing, you're making a contribution at the end of the day. And those contributions, everything adds up. And everybody, whether they really realize it or not, is making an impact. And I think we're in a society right now where so much of the focus is on the celebrity and on the people who have that name recognition and the notoriety and the fame. And, you know, everybody else just kind of feels like, well, you know, I don't have that. So why let my voice be heard? Why should my opinions be known? But, you know, the truth of the matter is everyone's opinion is important and matters and should be heard, you know, whether we agree with it or not. And I really believe that no impact is too small. We've all just got to keep really putting out there what it is that we believe in.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that, you know, what you were saying about people just taking it at face value, and now it's more important than ever to look into things and share your voice about those things. I think that goes to that applies to everything in life. And I think that something I really promote in my personal and my daily life is like, don't ever just take what somebody says and just run with it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that for everything. I'm not telling people to go be anarchists, and I'm not telling people to like not believe their parents or anything. But I mean, from a young age, even with religion, to me, it's like, how crazy is it that we just like get a version of a story told to us by our parents and that's it. That's all we
yeah.
believe.
You know, yeah,
like,
it's so true.
So many people who are just like, yep, well, my dad told it to me, so it must be true. And I've been going to, you know, the same place my whole life, and that's what I believe. And it's like, totally, you feel free to express whatever you believe, but like, at least look into the other ideas, and you don't know what you might actually agree with more. And I just wish that more people were like, maybe I am Buddhist, or maybe I am Jewish, or maybe I am Muslim, and they grew up Catholic, or maybe yeah. they grew up and they were told that they were going to be straight, and maybe they're bisexual, or maybe they're pansexual, or, you know, there's so many stories of people just being like pushed into this life that they didn't want. And I really do think that the majority of the problems that we have in this world are, you know, besides the corruption and things like that, from the other end, I think that internally we face a lot of issues, and, you know, it goes to the name of your podcast, Seek the Joy. We don't actually seek the joy in our lives because we were told to do something one way, and what we actually would find joy in contradicts that.
Yeah,
and,
so true.
You know, that's something that if we really investigated everything more and looked into things more and read more, I think people need to read a lot mm-hmm. more in life, discovered new cultures, and just really figured out what actually expressed us as human beings, we would have a lot less problems in the world.
Yeah. And I think now more than ever, I think people are starting to wake up and question, you know, whether it's religion, politics, society in general. And so I think what you had to say is so interesting and so true. And too often people are pushed, I think, into a life that they may not want or agree with. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I know, just from my own background and experience, who are working either a corporate job or, oh, I'm thinking about so many of my friends who are in law firms right now. And because that's what you're expected to do when you graduate from law school and pass the bar, you go work at a law firm, and they literally hate their lives. And I have always been looked at as someone who's so weird in the sense, like unconventional, because I have never wanted to work in a law firm. And so, you know, it's interesting how people sort of ascribe to whatever it is they've been told is the next step in their lives, whether they like it or not.
Right.
It's so true. So many people are not seeking joy in their lives. And I told you this for your podcast when we were talking, but, you know, I think so many people just don't even know what brings them joy. And so, you know, my hope with this podcast is to sort of, you know, hear what other people's stories and create a, you know, a conversation, you know, really share, you know, the authentic highs and lows of people's lives, because pretending that we exist in a state of joy all the time is just a lie. You know what I mean? I think it's right. totally possible to feel joy maybe 75% of the time. I don't know, but maybe more, maybe less, but you know, we're human, and there's a light side and there's a dark side, and there's highs and there's lows. And, you know, the more of us who start to get really in touch with what brings us joy and what we're excited about and what we're passionate about. And this is such an overused word, but purpose, you know, what our purpose is and what it is we want to do and contribute. I think the more people really spend time and get in touch with that, the better.
Yeah. I think that to me, it's definitely like, stop listening to everything on the outside. And for once, just look internally.
Yeah.
Because, you know, And that's not to say that looking internally is going to solve every problem in the world, because there are people who are going to look internally and are, you know, more selfish minded and then do selfish things because of that. But I think that is also meant to be, and those people will end up doing more selfish acts, and the people around them that aren't selfish can be like, wow, I could see this person's true colors now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it all has a reason behind it. And there's going to be good people in the world. There's going to be bad people in the world. And as unfortunate as it is, that is, you know, what life entails. But I think if we look internally and we start to put our focus on the correct things, we can maybe be better people and stop doing those couple of shitty acts every day that we do by accident, you know, that they're not necessarily things that we are proud of or things that we want to do, but we were neglecting important parts of our lives that needed to be focused on. And because of that, we start doing, you know, little shitty things. So if we just kind of refocus and say, what are some aspects of my life that I need to put time and energy into so I don't hurt other people because I'm neglecting them?
Yeah.
That's something that would, you know, kind of help everybody out.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And I think there are two versions to looking inward. I think there's maybe the more selfish end where it's like you're only focusing and caring about yourself. But then there's the other end of it, which is, you know, looking inward and figuring out who you are. And I think too many of us look for external validation and what, you know, is enforced or motivated externally, but we're not in touch with who we are, which is what you were just saying. And the more we sort of, you know, look inward and figure out what's important to us and maybe change the way we behave or change the way we interact with people. Yeah, you're spot on. I mean, it's going to totally have an impact on the way we treat others and in the world in general. And I just think more people have got to do it. And like you were saying, more people have to read and do the research and figure out who they are.
I agree.
So what would you say is your biggest dream?
Well, you know, I feel like I have a career dream and I feel like I have a life dream.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, you know, I think of it like the 5-6-7 thing, which a lot of gym trainers use, where it's like, okay, you have a goal and it might be like to lose weight, but then you keep saying like, why? And then when you get to the 5th, 6th, or 7th time that you ask the question, why, you really get down to the real reason why what you're trying to do is not working. And that's kind of like what I do with myself when I want something or when I want to do something, is like keep asking it until I get to the real reason why. So you can skip all those middle steps and start really working on the 7th thing.
Yeah.
So I think if I do my 5-6-7 of my work goal and my home goal, it really boils down to like just creating a better world for people. You know, my work goal is, or my work dream, I should say, is like, as lame as it is, being a professor and teaching media literacy and behavioral science at a university where my kids can go for free because I'm a professor, because I'm going to be poor if I'm a professor.
So true. It's the sad truth. It's really sad. Yeah.
And then if I'm, you know, like my life goal is to just like be a mom eventually, but not before I accomplish everything that I want to in my personal and my work life. But like actually give a really good life to my children and raise them to be people who I think will contribute to society in a positive way. So, but either way, it's really just like shaping the minds of young people, whether they're my children or whether they're my students, who I probably would consider my children anyway. So just, you know, hold people's hands, give them hugs, help them realize that they're not alone, that they're not weird for whatever, you know, feelings that they have or whatever thoughts that they have. Unless they're like a serial killer, then maybe we'll work on that.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, like I just watched Mindhunter, so I don't know if there's much I could do with one of those kinds of people. But for most people, you know, just like be that person in somebody's life who that they can trust and go to and kind of is just like there to field everything that's happening in their life that society is telling them is incorrect, and can just be like, all right, let's work on this together. Yeah. So I don't know what you would call that dream. Just like helping people, you know, just my dream is to touch as many people's lives as I can in a positive way.
Yeah. Have an impact, and sort of sounds to me like leave the world a better place than what you found it.
Yeah.
And by having an impact on your future children or students or, you know, anyone who you're even just touching with your podcast. I mean, it's about really growing and helping people really maybe see and hear and view things differently than maybe they did before, and creating a better world.
Yeah, my dream is to just like help people understand each other more, I guess.
Yeah, and we're really lacking that right now in this society. So where can everyone find the Supernormal Podcast?
So you can go to supernormalpodcast.com for a full listing of where we are. Also, we're on iTunes. We're on all the major podcast situations, TuneIn, Stitcher, all those ones. Google Play is a little bit funky, but you can try it out and just Google it. You know, if you look up Supernormal Podcast, we're also on YouTube and most importantly, Instagram, because if you're on our Instagram, you will get the most updates of what I am doing with the Supernormal brand. And make sure that you follow and subscribe and leave a review, because like I said, your girl is broke. So if you leave reviews, that bumps us up into the, you know, apps and the app world and gets us higher up to like new and noteworthy in iTunes, and maybe somebody will sponsor me so that way I can keep making these podcasts and I won't be so nervous about trying to juggle that and a job at the same time.
The more we can help each other out, you know, the better. So I love it.
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. This was amazing.
Thanks for having me.